Well, cast your mind back to that first date, whether with a boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe the first meet-up with your husband or wife-to-be. I bet somewhere along the line you went for a walk together. Maybe it was the first thing you did, and that's how you got to know each other. There's something very sweet and intimate about walking and talking with somebody that you're in love with. And so it is with God. It's a relationship of love, and he made each of you to walk with him and him with you, walking together in perfect love. One Bible verse sums up, I think, how we as God's created beings should be, and this is the verse in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. How is your walk with God, your God, today? How is your walk with God today? Is it bitty? Or maybe non-existent? If we are to walk with the Lord, it's no great surprise that Abraham, the great example of faith, should be an example for us in walking with the Lord. And he is described by James as God's friend, and friends walk together. In Isaiah, the Lord says, "But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." The Lord commissioned Abraham, saying, and this was his words of what Abraham should do in response to God's grace to him, was simply this, that he should walk before me and be blameless. I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And that he did. And Abraham said later to his servant, "The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success." And of course, that's the example, wasn't it, of finding Rebekah as a wife for his son Isaac. And then Jacob, as he blesses his son Joseph later in his life, he says, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, may he bless you." So the patriarchs, as great men before us, walked with God. But it didn't start with Abraham. Right back in Genesis 5, with a list of descendants of Adam and Eve's son, we read that Enoch walked with God for 300 years, no less. And Jude speaks of Enoch as a prophet who warned that judgment was coming on the ungodly. Enoch did not die, but the Lord took him away. He was no more. And then it says twice in that same passage, he's somebody who walked with God. Turn the page and you hear of Noah, who was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Then when Moses was speaking to the people of God, at least 8 times on the east side of the Jordan before they were to go into the promised land, he said to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to hold fast to him. And then Joshua, when he took them into the promised land, said, "Be very careful to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Plenty of examples there from the people of God in the Bible. How about you today? How is your walk with your God today? Are you walking with him? Why is all this said in the Bible? Why is it there? Well, it's because we have this great tendency and inclination to walk off, to leave the right path. And that is what happened again and again in the Bible. In the time of the judges particularly, they quickly turned from the ways of their fathers and walked in the ways of disobedience instead of obedience to God. And I know that, and perhaps you know that. It's very easy, isn't it, to walk away, to leave the path and head off or chin up in our own direction. How often does that happen in relationships? If things aren't going well, just walk away. There's a parting of the ways, we say. And of course, that happened right back in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? So what was God doing in the Garden of Eden? He says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But where is Adam? Where is Eve? They had hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to the man, where are you? Where is man? Where is that man and woman, the jewel of God's creation, made with the capacity to know him, made to enjoy sweet fellowship with his Lord and God, to walk in the garden with God in perfect bliss? Where are they? Well, the human race looks back longingly to that walk in the garden, which is no more. The response of man was, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And from that time onwards, man has ceased to walk with God. And how grievous it must have been to him to see man depart. And oh, how sin separates. No wonder the picture of walking either with the Lord or away from the Lord is such a widely used picture in the Bible. Yes, sin does separate. And it's always good when we're considering a course of action to think about what I'm planning to do. Will it actually separate me from my brother and sister, or will it bind us together more so? It's so easy, isn't it, to think of many issues by which we might be separating one from another. And behind that is usually pride. Sin causes people to go in separate ways. And the devil loves to divide and will give plenty of practical reasons why we should do so. But remember, not to be walking with him means we're unlikely to be walking with each other. F.B. Meyer said, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Well, walking in fear of God, walking with God, is a huge theme in the Bible. It's mentioned about 200 times. And obviously we don't have time to explore that today. We don't have time to consider how often the Lord's people failed to walk with him and instead walked in their own way, or walked in the ways of the king of Israel, or walked in the ways of Ahab, or walked in the ways of wickedness, or walked in the ways of darkness. Well, maybe you're thinking at this point, well, we've had all these Old Testament quotations. I mean, what about the New Testament? Is it still the same in the New Testament? Quite often people think of, well, in the Old Testament, you know, God is with people, but in the New Testament, he's within, inside people. And therefore, you might say, well, the modern New Testament version would be to remain in me, as Jesus says, or abide in me. And certainly, I'm sure that's right. But the Old Testament, we do see the Lord dwelling within his chosen people. And therefore, we can expect to find that phrase used in the New Testament. And it is. For Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so to look to Jesus, to follow Jesus, is to walk in the light, he says. And the Bible has a fair bit to say about this. And in fact, many do walk in darkness. For example, in Proverbs 7, it speaks about the foolish man who is not careful to avoid the home of an adulteress. And we read these words. He said, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. How foolish, how unknowing of sinful passions. He walked in darkness. Let's not be deceived. When we follow our sinful passions, we are walking in darkness. The devil would love us to sleepwalk in darkness and remain so. But John reminds us, if we claim to live in Christ, we must walk as he did. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. So we should say simply, as the Sunday school song goes, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Are you walking with the Lord this new year? Maybe you're not exactly sure what I mean. What's that mean in practice? Well, Amos 3:3 says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" So there has to be an agreement. And when you walk together with somebody, that means your will is inclined to their will. Your heart is with them. Your mind is with them. You think the same way. You go the same way. And therefore, let's think about our lives and what we have with our lives. What about our health and strength or the money? It's then for him. Our energy is for him. Our gifts are to be for him. Our time are for him. That's what happens when we do things together. And when we walk with the Lord, our will and so on is with him. And some people are very quick to declare their love for someone else. And Christians too, for the Lord. But Jesus warns against cheapening those words. He said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And the Apostle John later explains, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands," and reminds us so we do not forget that these two ideas are tied together. And to love him is to walk in his commands, and his commands that we walk in love, they go together. Well, these disciplines of loving God are worked at or worked in over many years. Aligning our will and direction are best made when young, while things are pliable, and that's the right time to make things permanent. A pastor once noticed on the pavement leading up to his church an imprint of two baby feet pointing towards the door. So some mother had put the child down there when the cement was wet, and 14 years later those footprints were still pointing to the church door. And the message was simply that early impressions became permanent. And to set a child in the right direction means that later on they will continue to go there. That door, of course, is Christ. And that's how we should set our direction to. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So to walk in constant fellowship with him is found through obedience to the Father's will. So let's just think about some of the problems we can experience along the way. I think one problem is that we can run ahead, and the Bible warns us against running ahead. We carry on without listening to the Lord. We know what to do. We can do it. And maybe we get up in the morning and we make my plans for my day and what I want to do, but we're not listening to him. We just expect Jesus to rubber stamp what we want to do. Let's be like David, who always stopped to ask, "Lord, what is your will? What would you have me do? What is the right way?" Well, Psalm 37, it says, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way." And if you do wait for him, you will keep his way. And if you rush off, then you're unlikely to be keeping his way. So one thing we can do is run ahead. And the other thing we can do is lag behind. Again, it's to be insensitive to the Lord's leading. The Lord prompts you to go maybe and have a conversation with somebody, but you miss it. And then it doesn't come back again. Or the Lord puts in your mind the needs of another. You can visit and help. Or there's some service you can do amongst us here in the church. But you leave it and do nothing. You miss the prompt. Or there's the chance to say a kind word or to encourage a brother. But you put it off and it's gone. That is to lag behind. That is not to walk in faith. And of course, Abraham, who's our great example of faith, he listened to the Lord. And even when he was told to go and slay his own son, it says, early in the morning, he was up and he was off and he went and did it. So we too, like Abraham, we should walk in the footsteps of the faith as he did. And Abraham, he had those steps of faith. This is what's been said of him. He said he left all for God, he left all with God, he found all in God, and he yielded all to God. So that's the walk of faith. And walking of faith means that you don't know what you're going to be doing, but you know the one who's told you to do it. As has been said, it's the faith that takes us into a seeming void and then to discover the rock beneath. So Jesus is the great example of constantly listening to his Father's will and walking aright with him. At the wedding at Cana, do you remember we had that recently, didn't we? The wine ran out, so his mother went to Jesus, "We've run out of wine." And Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." But actually, that moment, it did come. And so he turns to the servants and said, "Go and fill up those water jars." And then, of course, we get the great miracle, the first miracle, which introduces us to the ministry of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And his glory was revealed, and the disciples put their faith in him. So he was sensitive to his Father's will, and the moment came when it wasn't his time, and it suddenly became, it was his time. And then a bit later, when his brothers chided him and said, "Well, if you want to be a public figure, go up to the feast. His time has not yet come." But then part of the way through the feast, he realizes actually, now is the time. And he does go up. So Jesus is constantly sensitive to his Father's will. And there's our example. And the walk of faith, if you live your life of faith like he did, is to walk in glorious daylight. And Jesus said, "If a man who walks by day will not stumble, it is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." So if you're walking with Jesus, you are, however it may appear, walking in the light. But if you're not walking with Jesus, then it's a bit like stumbling around in pitch darkness. You're constantly bumping into people, bumping into a host of obstacles, and you're way off the road. So Jesus says, "The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Therefore, we should walk in the light before darkness overtakes you." So if you've left the path, if you've lost your way, then this is what you are to do. And it's the same for everyone. We can find the Lord in his way. For outside of his way, outside of his will, you will not find him. Isaiah says to the Lord, "You come to the help of those who remember your ways." So we may be sure that we will not find him anywhere else but in his ways. And the Lord God has made his ways known through his word. And his word is Jesus, the living word. And Jesus, now risen from the dead, beckons us to himself. To surrender obedience to all his will is the secret of access to all his blessing. To surrender obedience to all his will is the secret of access to all his blessing. And there you find sweet fellowship with him. As I say, you will not find the Lord anywhere else. You will not find the Lord off his way. And being lost is a terrible experience. Ever been lost? Scary. And it can have terrible consequences. I'll have an article at home. Going back a while, it was talking about the Australian outback. And this is not uncommon in the Australian outback. Actually, I remember speaking to one ranger who said he'd buried 13 people that year already. Away from their broken down car, they walked around lost, not knowing where they were. They were found dead. A local paper reported, "For Australians, it is an all too familiar story. They don't know where the water was and walk to their deaths." It was too late when people found their dead bodies. And what is so sad, it goes on to say, is that actually they were just 10 minutes away from water, but they didn't know it. So are you close, but actually not found the water? Do you see yourself as being close? Do you think coming here this morning means you're closer? In one sense, yes. Because the word enables us to come close. But to miss the salvation that is found in Christ is to die. You can be so close, but actually not have it. Eternal death awaits all who have not found the Lord Jesus Christ, the life giver. So we're looking for the way. Jesus is the way for the lost. He is the life for the dead, and he is the truth for the confused. And he's made a way through the cross, and the truth about sin and judgment is dealt with at the cross. And through the cross, there is power to bring us to the life of God. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're listening to those words, then you are close. For as Paul said, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. The question is, what have you done with it? Or what will you do with it? What are you doing with it? Will you turn from the dark ways of sin into the light that is found in Jesus Christ? Do this and you will live. Do this and you will find yourself walking with God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve hid from the Lord and no longer walked with him. Many have been hiding from God ever since. Hiding from God. Are you, despite appearances, despite being here this morning, actually in your heart, hiding from God and will not walk with him? God has now made a way through Christ that we can come back and walk with him as it was in the garden. Christians, we can lose our way too. Jesus sees all that we do, and it's he who walks among the 7 gold lampstands, the churches. So he is amongst us and seeing what we do. And I found it very chilling when I was reading about the church in Sardis. Many there were trying to appear as active in the faith, but the Lord calls them out. He can see that their deeds are non-existent, and he says, "Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." Sadly, there are many churches like Sardis around today. The dirtiness of the world has killed off enthusiasm. It's killed off the work of the Lord. It's killed off the walk with the Lord. And most is done by the few. I wonder if KNBC is like that. Is it like Sardis? The remedy is repentance, turning and seeking. Do you know that not to actively seek the Lord is a sin? King Rehoboam, we are told, did evil. And how? Because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Psalm 105 says, "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." And Jesus goes on, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy." Only when we walk with the Lord will we be able to live that life of holiness. And if any of you haven't picked up our motto text for this new year, then there are some cards left on the table at the back. And so this sermon really carries on from last week, which was about holiness, about being called, having been made holy, being called to live a holy life. And that can only be done if we walk with the Lord. They go together. So if you don't have one of those, then do take one of those cards. And I just want to finish by pointing out that actually, as a Christian, this walk can be a very lonely walk. It's a lonely walk. A.W. Tozer said, "The loneliness of the Christian results from his walk with God in an ungodly world. A walk that must often take him away from the fellowship of good Christians as well as that of the unregenerate world. His God-given instincts cry out for companionship with others of his kind, others who can understand his longings, his aspirations, his absorption with the love of Christ. And because within his circle of friends there are so few who share his inner experiences, he is forced to walk alone." the man or woman who dwells in the divine presence, in actual inner experience, will not find many who understand him. Do you agree with that? Do you know that inner experience, and do you find the loneliness of walking that way? Well, he goes on to say, he finds few who care to talk about that which is the supreme object of his interest. So he's often silent and preoccupied in the midst of noisy religious shop talk. For this, he earns the reputation of being dull and over serious. So he is avoided, and the gulf between him and society widens. He searches for friends upon whose garments he can detect the smell of myrrh, aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, and finds few or none. He, like Mary of old, stores these things up in his heart. It is this very loneliness that throws him back on God. His inability to find human companionship drives him to seek in God what he cannot find anywhere else. Brothers and sisters, value above all else that precious walk with God, that moment by moment fellowship with God. He is to be found. It is to be found. Seek him afresh today if you haven't. If you've let it slip, if you've been distracted, if you've wandered off, return. Return to him. Your feet will be restless until you return to walking with him. May the Lord help us in this. Amen.